Bless you. Give us what the Lord's got on your heart. Would you do that?
Thank you, Pastor. Yes, appreciate it. Well, it's good to be with you all tonight. My name is Nathan. This is my wife down here, Gianti. She is Italian. She is born and bred in Sicily, and she is gorgeous, let me tell you. So if you want to come down and give her a hug tonight, let her know that she's welcome here. And she's working on her citizenship test right now, so we're going to try to go tomorrow to D.C., to tell her what America's all about and show her some guns and stuff. So we'll see. We'll see what we can do about that. My family's there in the back, my dad, my mom, and my brother, and we've just been having a great time. I tell you what, it is cold here. Growing up in Maryland, I thought I would be used to the cold, but we moved out to California and right outside of San Diego. And I tell you what, we came down out of the clouds on the airplane. And I felt like I was on a roller coaster mixed in with like an earthquake mixed inside of a blender. Like the wind was just knocking us around like crazy. And then the weirdest thing was we're sitting there on the tarmac and we're waiting to come off the plane. And I look out the window and I see these polar bears are out there pulling the luggage off the plane. It was so cold out. And Coke in one hand, luggage in the other hand. It was amazing. It was incredible. Take your Bibles, go to the book of Habakkuk tonight. And I have stage phobia, so I'm getting off this stage right now. And I'm going to come down here. I don't know if, is my mic on?
Does not sound like it.
I'm colorblind, so I don't know if it's green. Oh, is that it? Okay, all right. I don't know if it's purple or blue or green or whatever it is. I wanted to, whoever that young lady was that sang this song, this was an awesome song. Let me read these words to you. Let me introduce you to Jesus. He longs to be your Savior and Lord. He'll be your King. But he'll be your friend. Whatever you expect, he'll be more. He's the shout that calls the dead to life again. He's the bread that multiplies to meet your need. He's the midnight calm in the lion's den and the shepherd who goes searching for the sheep. How many of you are glad the shepherd came searching for you? Amen. He's the hand that reaches out to rescue you when the waves are growing higher. And he's the fourth man who's always there beside you when you're walking through the fire. Every life will have its share of trouble, but oh, that's when you'll find him so close. And if you fail, he will carry you, because every time you need him the most, he's the shout that calls the dead to life again. He's the bread that multiplies to meet your need. He's the midnight calm in the lion's den and the shepherd who goes searching for the sheep. He's the hand that reaches out to rescue you when the waves are growing higher. And he's the fourth man who's always there beside you when you're walking through the fire. Now watch this. He's the victory cry that causes walls to fall. He's the song that rises from a prison cell. He's the love and grace that would bear your cross and the story of redemption that you tell. Every time you offer up a desperate prayer, he will be your heart's desire. He's the fourth man who's always beside you when you're walking through fire, when you're walking through fire. Man, that was an awesome song tonight. Thank you for singing that. That was great. Well, if you found the book of Habakkuk yet, you did better than me. Habakkuk, chapter number one. Hope to be a blessing to you all tonight. We're just going to gather around God's word together. I'm not fancy. I'm not polished. I'm just from the hills of Maryland or the backwoods of Maryland, whatever you want to say. Habakkuk, chapter number one. Before we begin the message tonight, I want you to think about the situation right now in your life that you're just struggling with. And maybe you're wrestling with God a little bit about it, and you've taken it to God in prayer and you've talked to him about it and you've said, God, can you handle the situation, please? Would you please deal with the situation? And God's not responding the way that you want him to. God's not reacting to the situation in your life that you want him to. I just want you to think about one situation. Maybe it's a small one. Maybe it's a big one. Maybe it's a relative going through cancer. Maybe it's a teenager in your home that is not listening to your authority. Whatever it might be, I want you to think about that one situation. I want you to focus on that one situation tonight during the message. So I think God has something that can help you tonight. Habakkuk chapter 1 and verse number 1 says, the burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. How many of you have a burden tonight that's on your heart? The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see. O Lord, how long shall I cry, and thou wilt not hear? Even cry out unto thee of violence, and thou wilt not save? Why dost thou show me iniquity, and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth. Let's pray, and then we'll jump into the message tonight. Father, thank you so much for your word, and you know how this has ministered to my heart, God, and I pray that you would help me to believe what I am preaching and help me to preach what I believe tonight. Amen. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in a time of the children of Judah right now, the children of Israel, and we're in the southern kingdom of Judah. And that is the ministry that Habakkuk was ministering to. He was instructed to be the prophet to the children of Judah. And here we find Judah is struggling with this very serious situation. If you look at verse number 1, it says, "The burden which Habakkuk the prophet did see." You see, Habakkuk was looking all around at his nation, at his people, and he realized there is a problem. There is a situation that I cannot solve on my own. And as we read verse number 2, I hope that you realized and saw the frustration and the pain that is in Habakkuk's own heart. Look at the verse two words there. It says, "O Lord, how long shall I cry and thou wilt not hear?" Do you see the exclamation point right there? Whenever the Bible has an exclamation point, you better watch out right there, because that is some serious emotion going on. He says, "Even cry out to thee of violence, and thou wilt not save." Verse number 3, why? Why? How many of you have ever asked God that question before? God, why this? God, why that? How long for this, God? How long for that? Why are you doing this in my life? Now look at the situation that Habakkuk is dealing with. Verse number 3, "Why dost thou show me iniquity and cause me to behold grievance? For spoiling and violence are before me, and there are that raise up strife and contention. Therefore the law is slacked, and judgment doth never go forth. For the wicked doth compass about the righteous, therefore wrong judgment proceedeth." You see, Habakkuk is telling God, "God, I'm seeing all these things that are wrong in my country. I'm seeing all these things that are bad in my land, that are bad around with the people around me. And I am struggling with these, God." Look at some of the problems that were taking place. He says there's sin that is rampant. There's spoiling. There's violence. People are robbing each other. The strife between people, between neighbors, is growing. People are contentious with each other. Now watch verse number 4. It's not just among the people, though. It's among the government. It's among the people that are in authority. Verse number 4, he says, "The law is slacked." People aren't following the laws. Not even the high-up people. Not even the religious people or the political people. Nobody's following the law. He says, "Judgment never goes forth." Judgment is never taken out. People do wrong things, but they're never punished for it. He says, "For the wicked doth compass about the righteous. Therefore, wrong judgment proceedeth." He says, the wicked people are surrounding the good people. The wicked people are outnumbering the good people. And he says, "God, this is a problem. God, this is a big situation that I'm trying to deal with, that I'm trying to comprehend in my life. Why are you letting this happen to my people? Why? Your chosen people, God. Why are you letting that happen to us?" Do you hear the frustration in these verses? Do you hear the despair in Habakkuk's voice as he struggles with what God is doing? Now watch verse number 5, because the response that God gives is not the response Habakkuk was wanting. Watch this. Verse number 5, God responds and he says, "Behold ye among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I, God, will work a work in your days which ye will not believe, though it be told you." Verse number 6, "For lo, I raise up the Chaldeans, that bitter and hasty nation, which shall march through the breadth of the land to possess the dwelling places that are not theirs." Verse 7, "They are terrible and dreadful. Their judgment and their dignity shall proceed of themselves." So God responds to Habakkuk's plea for help and his plea for, would you please recognize the situation that's going on? And God responds by saying, "Okay, I'm going to bring a people that is worse than your people to judge you." And as humans, we think, what? That does not make any sense. Habakkuk is thinking, these people, these Chaldeans, these Babylonians, they are worse than my people. But God responds and says, "I'm going to use them." Has God ever done something in your life where he used a situation that did not make any sense at all to you? He answered your request, but in a very weird way. You see, God is never bound by our limitations or by our thinking. God is in control. God is the sovereign one. Look at the description of these Chaldeans. Their horses are swifter, in verse number 8, their horses are swifter than the leopards. They're more fierce than the evening wolves. We'll jump down to verse 9. "They shall come all for violence. Their faces shall sup up as the east wind, and they shall gather the captivity as the sand. They shall scoff at the kings and the princes." Verse number 11, "Then shall his mind change, and he shall pass over and offend, imputing this his power unto his God. See, the Chaldeans are going to give all of the praise for their victory over the nation of Judah to their gods. And their gods are not the true gods. Their gods were gods of wood, gods of stone, the sun god, the star gods, all these things like that. But God says, I'm going to use them anyway to bring judgment on my own people. Now watch verse number 12. Habakkuk responds to God. He says, Art thou not from everlasting, O Lord my God, mine Holy One? We shall not die. O Lord, thou hast ordained them for judgment, and O mighty God, thou hast established them for correction. Thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Wherefore lookest thou upon them that deal treacherously, and holdest thy tongue when the wicked devoureth the man that is more righteous than he? Do you see what Habakkuk is doing here? He's using God's own attributes to say, God, you can't really do that because you're this way. God, you can't really do that because you're like this. Have you ever done that before? Where you say, God, you're so loving, you can't do this in my family. God, you're all powerful, you can't let this happen in my country. God, you're all knowing, you can't let this happen. God doesn't need us to tell him what to do. God doesn't need us to run the world. He continues on with his answer in verse number 15. He says, they take up all of them with the angle. They catch them in their net and gather them in their drag. Therefore they rejoice and are glad. Therefore they sacrifice unto their net and burn incense unto their drag. Because by them their portion is fat and their meat is plenteous. Shall they therefore empty their net and not spare continually to slay the nations? You see, Habakkuk is saying, God, these people, these Chaldeans, these Babylonians, they're not going to stop taking over the world. They're not going to stop hurting people and bringing judgment upon people. He said, they're not going to stop. God, why are you doing this to my people? Look at chapter 2 and verse number 1. You ever been stubborn before? You ever just kind of stiffened up your neck to the Lord? You ever kind of just gotten that straight back and Verse number 1 in chapter 2, Habakkuk says, I will stand upon my watch and set me upon the tower, and will watch to see what he will say unto me, and what I shall answer when I am reproved. Do you see that last word right there? Reproved. You see, Habakkuk knows that he's out of line. That word reprove means to correct or to disagree with. And he says, you know what? I think I'm wrong, and I know God's going to correct me, but he still says it anyway. Why? Because he cares for his people. He doesn't want what is going to happen to his people. He sees that this destruction is going to take place. Now watch, God responds again. Do you see this conversation going back and forth here between God and Habakkuk? Now watch in verse number 2. The Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry. Verse number 4, behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him. Let's all read the next phrase together. But the just shall live by his faith. But the just shall live by his faith. How are you doing living by faith tonight? How are you doing with that? Isn't it so easy to let fear grip our hearts, for fear to be the motivation for why we do things? The Bible says that God hath not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The song that we sang tonight, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, that the choir sang it, that phrase in there said, for more than conquerors we are. This idea that we have that we need to be scared or fearful or be ashamed about certain things is not the spirit that God has at all. God has a spirit of a conquering spirit, of a victorious spirit. I love our church's theme this year is victory strong. And our phrase is 1 Corinthians 15:57. That is our theme verse. And I love that because I want that mindset that God has made me a victor. That God has given me victory over sin. He's given me victory over death. And God wants me to be victorious every single day of my life. You notice here, God says to Habakkuk, the just shall live by his faith. I want you to keep that verse in your mind. This is the key verse in Habakkuk. I want you to keep this verse in your mind because it's going to come back to play at the end. In verses 5 through 18, there's now going to be these five woes. Woe to the people that do this. Woe to the people that do that. In verse number 12, I'll just point out this one here as an example. Chapter 2, verse number 12, it says, "Woe to him that buildeth a town with blood and establisheth a city by iniquity." He's talking about slavery. He's talking about using people to build your own kingdom, to build your own pyramids, to build your own works, whatever you want. He says, "Woe to him that does that." You see, what God is saying here in verses 5 through 18 is that he will punish the Chaldeans. He will punish the wicked. He will do that. But first, he has to use them for his purpose first. Now watch verse number 18. It says, "What profiteth the graven image that the maker thereof hath graven it, the molten image and a teacher of lies that the maker of his work trusteth therein to make dumb idols?" Verse number 19, "Woe unto him that saith to the wood, Awake, to the dumb stone, arise, it shall teach. Behold, it is laid over with gold and silver, and there is no breath at all in the midst of it." See, verses 18 and 19, how God is showing Habakkuk how foolish and how dumb it is for people of any nation, whether it's Judah, Israel, the Chaldeans, the Babylonians, whoever it is, to worship idols that they have made themselves. How dumb is that for people to build these altars to these wooden gods or these stone gods that they have created for themselves? It is so foolish. And I was thinking in my own life, sometimes for my own life, I serve at certain idols that other men have made. And I know that other men have made them, but I spend more time with them than I do with God. You think about your TV, your video games, maybe it's your guns, whatever it might be. But sometimes we worship more at the altar of the things that we as men have made than we do at the things that God has made, at who God is, the creator. We're supposed to be worshiping him, not something that's been made. Verse number 20, I love this verse. It says, "But the Lord is in his holy temple. Let all the earth keep silence before him." You know, God is where he's always been. God is where he's always been. Whenever you need to find God, he'll be right where you left him. He'll be right where you left him at. You might have gone astray, but God never left. God stayed right there the whole time. That's why I love that song that you sang tonight, because God was right there in every single situation, and God is right there with you in every single situation. And he's right here with Habakkuk too. And he knows, Habakkuk, I am with you. Now watch in chapter number 3. Verse number 1, it says, "A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet upon Shigionoth." Now you're going to watch here in chapter number 3 how Habakkuk's heart now changes from one of frustration and being upset towards God and being I don't understand what you're doing. And now you're going to see his heart change. Chapter number 3, verse number 1, it says, "O Lord, I have heard thy speech and I was afraid. O Lord, revive thy work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make known. In wrath, remember mercy." And he goes on for several verses here to talk about how great and how wondrous God is. He's still pleading for God. "God, I don't want these bad things to happen to my people, but I understand that you are in control and that you are God, and I will trust you." Now go to chapter 3. Go to verse number 17. And this is my favorite part of Habakkuk's story. And I hope that this will help you tonight. Chapter 3 and verse number 17. See, Habakkuk realizes judgment is going to come. I cannot do anything to change God's plan. I can't do anything to change what God is going to do to my people. So verse number 17, he says, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, the labor of the olive shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat." He says, you know what? I understand that my people are going to suffer. Our finances are going to be depleted. We're not going to see the kind of crops come in that we need to. My people are going to be starving. It's going to be a time of judgment. He says, I understand this. "And there shall be no herd in the stalls." You see, all these things were very, very, very important to this culture, to this time period. They had to have these things. They couldn't just walk down to the local Walmart, to the local grocery store, and get some food. They had to get it from their own land, from their own crops. And he says, this is going to be a terrible time for my nation. Now watch this, verse number 18. "Yet I will," what's the next word, church? Rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. Do you see how Habakkuk's heart has now changed from being maybe even a little bit kind of bitter towards God to where he is now saying, I'm at peace and I'm at rest with what you're going to do, God, because I trust you for who you are. Because I trust you and I trust your heart, God, that you are not going to let me be left behind, but that you are going to help me. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I love the meaning behind this word rejoice. It means to jump up for joy. That is a complete turnaround from what we are seeing from Habakkuk in chapter number 1. Habakkuk 1, he's in despair. He's in tears. He is feeling hopeless. And chapter number 3, verse 18, he begins to focus on God because he says, I am going to make a choice for myself. I'm going to decide that I will rejoice in the Lord. You see, you cannot change anybody's perspective around you on God. The only person's perspective on God that you can change is you and me. If I choose to have a bad attitude, if I choose to say that, oh, my life is just the worst and everything's just terrible, that is because I chose that. You and I have a choice to make, to rejoice in God or to be downtrodden by the circumstances and the situations that are around us. And please, I know I asked you to think about that one situation in your life. I'm not trying to downplay that one situation that is going on in your mind. I'm not trying to downplay that at all or say that it's unimportant. It is very important. And it is very important to God because he loves you. But you have to decide in that situation, am I going to rejoice in God or am I going to let the situation control me? Am I going to let the fear of the situation or my joy in God control me? Let's continue reading. Verse number 19 says, the Lord God is my strength. Amen. You see, if you're apart from God, if you're a Christian and you're living apart from God, you're not tapping into your strength. You're not even close to it. Your strength and my strength as a Christian comes from the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you are feeling depleted and you are feeling like your tank is on empty, you got to get back to Jesus because that is where the joy is. That is where you get the joy from. I think the psalmist said, the joy of the Lord is my strength. That is where we've got to get the joy from, is from Jesus Christ. And if you're not spending time with Jesus, don't expect to be joyful, because as soon as your circumstance or your situation changes, so is your attitude and so is your joy. And you will have that empty tank all over again. Verse number 19, the Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hind's feet. A hind is like a type of deer that lived in Israel and Judah at that time. And Habakkuk is saying that God will elevate me. He will make me walk upon mine high places. Now watch this. To the chief singer on my stringed instruments. What I love about the story of Habakkuk is that it doesn't stay for himself, but it is for many people around him. He says, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. So Habakkuk says, I want my story, I want this to be turned into a song for people to hear, for people to sing in the temple, that they would know the story of my struggle with God. And when you struggle with God, people are watching you, and people see your story. And it can make a big difference in their life if you respond the correct way. There's a gentleman in our church in El Cajon, California, Victory Baptist, and his name is Brother Kevin Parker. And Brother Parker, he's an amazing man. He just got out of the Marines. He traveled in Egypt and Latvia and Japan and all these places. And he's been in the Marines for 20-something years, I think, and now he's being a real estate agent. But one thing that impresses me so much with Mr. Parker is that he went through stage 4 melanoma cancer, and still he would come into our church and lead songs every day, every week. And we sang this one song one time. It said, never once did we ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful, God. We were singing that song, and he was up there on the stage, and our group was singing with him, and I was at the piano. And I looked over, and his wife was over here in the second row. And as she sees her husband up there singing that song, tears are just flowing down her cheeks. I'll never forget that moment. It was because of his testimony to respond with joy to an extremely difficult situation. He's got 5 kids, 5 young children. And the way that he was responding with joy, when many of us, I don't know if I'll be able to respond that way. Many of us might respond with, God, why are you doing this to me? God, don't you see I got kids? God, don't you see I got a wife? But he said, no, I am going to joy and rejoice in my God. And he still struggles with the cancer, but he's still leading songs every Sunday. He's even trying to start a bus route now. And I am blown away by the faith that this man has. Josiah, can you come up here real quick? I left out an important detail that you needed to understand. Habakkuk's name means to embrace. But throughout the book of Habakkuk, we don't see Habakkuk embracing. This is what we see from Habakkuk. Come up here. What we see from Habakkuk, I'll be Habakkuk, you're going to be God, all right? He's God. All right. Now, put your arms up like this. Habakkuk's name means to embrace, but what we see from Habakkuk is we see this. He comes to God, and he is struggling with God, and he is pushing against God and what God's will is. You got to push against me. You got to be a little stronger. Here you go. He's pushing against you. He's saying, God, I want you to do this. God, would you please do this for me? Come on, God. Why would you let my people do this to us? And he's struggling with God. But if you read chapter 3, verses 18 and 19, Habakkuk stops doing this with God. God, stop doing this to us. He says, God, I understand and I rejoice in you. And he begins to live by his name to embrace. And some of us in our lives, we are not living like the children of God that we are because we're too busy struggling with God. And God says, stop struggling with me. Stop doing this with me. You're my child. I want you to come in. I want you to embrace me because God loves you and God loves me. I heard a story about a little boy. He was in the supermarket with his mom, and you know how little boys can be. They can be a little bit tiresome, and my mom knows how little boys can be. She had two of them, and little boys can be very mischievous. And this little boy, he was about 4 years old, and he was in the store, and he was kind of pulling stuff off the shelf and doing all those things. And his mom was just getting frustrated. She says, "I'm gonna lose my mind." And the little boy looked up at her. And he said, "Mommy, you can lose your mind, but don't lose your heart." And he said this, "'Cause that's where I am." And folks, you are in God's heart. But is God in your heart? You're in His heart. But is he in your heart? Do you love him? Do you pursue him? Do you have joy because of who he is? Are you going to choose joy tomorrow morning when you have to get up and go to work at 5 a.m.? Are you going to choose to have joy in him when you have to visit that loved one at the hospital, at the nursing home? Are you going to choose joy? Are you going to choose that, God, I don't understand this situation, God, but I'm not going to struggle with you. I'm going to embrace you. I'm going to say, God, your plan is better than my plan, and I trust you. I love that song that says, when you can't see his plan, trust his heart. God loves you. I'm so overwhelmed by the love that God has for me. I can't preach without telling you about the gospel of Jesus Christ. God loves you and I so much that he would send his only son to die on a cross for us, for me, because of my sin and because of your sin. Because we're going to die and go to a place called hell. If you're in the room tonight, you don't know that you have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, I would encourage you, come to talk to Nathan or myself or Pastor Walsh. They would love to show you how you can find that joy in Christ, how you can have that relationship with Christ, how you can know what that true love is from Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for the story of Habakkuk. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed, if there's anybody in the room tonight, and you say, Nathan, I thought about that one situation.